Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to The Awakening with Katina Love and segment on Inspiration Sunday. Today is October 30th, 2016. I am your host, your self-love, purpose, and abundance coach. The Awakening with Katina Love show is a go-to resource for self-help, healing, and spiritual growth. It is a catalyst for empowerment and self-reliance. This is our last show on Blog Talk Radio. We are migrating over to iTunes, and we also have a YouTube channel. You can find my channel by typing in Katina Love or The Awakening with Katina Love. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show to share your journey to higher consciousness and promote your life purpose and business in the healing arts, I would love to speak with you. Your monetary gifts are welcome. This is the way that we continue to share our message with the masses. If you would like to give a monetary gift, you can send it by PayPal to Katina, K-A-T-I-N-A, at Katina, K-A-T-I-N-A, dot love, dot com. I'm sorry, KatinaLove.com, Katina at KatinaLove.com. I can be reached if you're interested in being a guest on the show at Katina, K-A-T-I-N-A, dot love, L-O-V-E, at mail, M-A-I-L, dot com. Or you can reach out to me on Facebook. Today's show is A Mom's Guide to Making Life Work. Our special guest is Charmaine Johnson Fuller. Her website is www.fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R, potentials, P-O-T-E-N-T-I-A-L-S, .com. Charmaine is a self-care coach for moms. She helps to empower moms by showing them how to create a life they love using self-care. Using the five foundations of self-care, Charmaine shows moms how to create self-care moments daily and not just wait for that perfect day. Join her community of dream catchers, caregivers, and supporters on Facebook. And your Facebook link, Charmaine, what is it?
It's facebook.com, then / Charmaine Johnson Fuller. And that will
awesome.
Take you right to my page. But the community, you can go to supermomsupport.me, and that will take you right to be to the supermom community where there's a lot of other moms there on your journey.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank
How are you
for
doing?
Having me. Today is a good day. It's a great day. Anytime, like my grandma used to say, anytime you're on this side of the dirt and you can still live your purpose, it's a wonderful day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're going to be sharing today some tips that mom can use to create more time for themselves in their ideal lifestyle. So what are some tips? What are some things that women can do to create that space for themselves?
Well, one of the first things is one that as women we often overlook, and it's starting with how do you want to feel. And I know that kind of seems like counterintuitive because you start to look at, oh, my God, can I have a spa day or how can I get out of the house? And we do these things as Band-Aids, you know, not really looking at how do we want to feel, definitely in our six major life areas like health and wellness, love relationships, family and friend relationships, your spiritual relationship, career and business and finances. When you know how you want to feel, you can then begin building a life around a feeling. So often we're going after stuff and we're going after external stuff that when we get it, I think it's called a pyrrhic victory, where you work really hard towards this goal and you give your all and then you get it and you go, what the, like, this is it. And so it's an empty victory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a victory that is, you know, now you just have more stuff. And I'm sure a lot of us, I know at one time I had a lot of stuff in my closet that was, oh, I got to have these shoes or I got to have this purse. And you get it, and it there's no feeling attached to it. But I always tell moms
mm-hmm.
to get clear on how they want to feel at the end of each day first. And that's really your first act of self-care. If you don't know what you want and how you want to feel, the rest is pointless.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Because so many times women are looking for things outside of themselves to fill that gap, to fill that void,
to fill that
exactly.
space of unhappiness. So that makes a lot of sense. It's all we're saying. Okay, so what are some what's a good way to write a to-do list that's realistic?
So, again, you're going to start, I always start with, you got to start with how you want to feel. And
mm-hmm.
you start to create your day based off how you want to feel and just not based off of what you got to do. I get it. Not everybody is going to be able to have a touchy, even me, you can't have a touchy-feely day all the time, even though sometimes we love it. But if we had touchy-feely days, there would be no new lessons to learn. So, again, starting off with those foundational feelings, and then I always have moms write out three things that they're grateful for, because that often puts even some of the dragons you have to slay, it often puts them into perspective, you know, versus you having a negative feeling around them. You start off feeling like, okay, you know, I've already got some stuff I'm good on, you know, let's go from there. Once they write out what they're grateful for, I have them write out three things that must get done today. Now, these three things have nothing to do with your goals. This might be, you know, again, if you're a mom or even if you're just running a household, it could be you got to go grocery shopping or you have to take somebody to the doctor today or, you know, you have to call a plumber. But three things that definitely have to get done, these are your dragons, that have to get done by the end of the day. Once you do that, you should already have some goals in place for your life. If you don't, please, I implore you to get the book Abundance Now by Lisa Nichols and get really clear on what you want your life to look like and what type of goals that you want to have. Once you have, you know, how you want to feel, what you're grateful for, and three things that just absolute three dragons that you have to slay for the day, you're going to take your top three projects, whether it's a business project or, but these are things for you, not necessarily things for your family. These are things for you that you want to complete and do in your life. And you're going to do two things each day off of your goal list that are going to take you closer to those goals. And you're also going to put down on your to-do list who you might need to hear from or reach out to and kind of plug that into your calendar. And I know it might sound like a lot on the, you know, it might sound like it's a lot, but once you start writing things down and you start looking at your day begins to hold more purpose, where it's not just a list of stuff that's either what I call OPP, which is other people's priorities, or, you know, just filler. You're like, oh, yeah, I got to do this. Oh, yeah, I got to do that. But starting somewhere, starting off with, you know, what needs to be done, what are three things that need to be done in my home, and what are three things that I can do to get me closer to my goals. The biggest problem, and I don't like to say problem, but the biggest issue that I see is that we tend to overestimate what we can do in a day and underestimate what we could get done in a week. So we tend to have these to-do lists that have like 20 and 30 things on them. And it's like, oh, my gosh, you only have 24 hours in the day. Even God can't
right.
get this much stuff, in a day, you know. And then we set ourselves up for failure. And at the end of the day, we still have like 20 things left because we were only able to do 10. And then we get depressed and we get sad and we say, oh, my God, I can never get anything done. And, you know, it turns into this self-deprecating behavior. And so I always tell moms, I say, your to-do list for the day, honestly, should not have more than 10, maybe 15 if you're pushing it, but definitely should not have more than 10 items on it. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're a mom, you have to factor in kids. Somebody might puke today, or you might have to pick somebody up from school, or there are different things
mm-hmm.
that you have to do. And then
mm-hmm.
on days where maybe you have to go to the grocery store, or maybe you have to do something extra with the child, or it's a family day, like, there's some days where I only have 2 to 3 things on my to-do list. And that's a far cry from what my to-do list used to look like because, you know, we're taught to more, and not to pull back and go, okay, at the end of the day, I want to feel accomplished, I want to feel connected,
mm-hmm.
and I want to feel free. And,
right.
well, having 20 things on my to-do list gives me those foundational feelings at the end of the day. Now, so it makes you, that's why I say feelings are so important. It makes you truly restructure and think about what is going on your list.
Makes so much sense. That's great. But let's talk about boundaries. What are the benefits of having boundaries?
One, you won't have to repeat yourself as much. You know, a lot of times we repeat ourselves to people because we either repeat ourselves, or another benefit is you'll be pissed off less often. because if people know how far they can go with you if you stick to that, and,
right.
you know, then there tends to be a lot less frustration. The communication tends to be better. So there's just so many positives to boundaries. Now, what I've discovered is as women, we have no problem setting boundaries with people. We're really good at telling people what we don't want. Our issue comes in applying it. Go, oh, my gosh, she's having a bad day. I'm not going to tell her to stop calling me after 10 o'clock. You know, that's my girl. She having some issues. And
mm-hmm.
so we let people continuously bust these boundaries. And then what happens is that we start to become stressed out and overwhelmed because the boundaries haven't been followed. And then that's when we blow up at people, and that's when the Incredible Hulk woman comes out, and you're cussing everybody out, and you're pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when that comes out. The best way to make sure that your boundaries, that you're setting them and they're being applied and followed, is you have to be clear. A lot of the times we are not clear with people because we're trying to be nice. Stop being nice.
Right.
Start being clear with people as to what you need them or not need them to do. Stop assuming that people close to you know what you want and can read your mind, and break it down for them like as if you had just met. That's where a lot of frustration comes from also. My husband, we've been married for like 16 years, and I used to do that with him too, where it's like, okay, well, he should know that I want the baskets brought up by the end of the day. No, he doesn't. You know, he doesn't
right?
know. And then I would get mad because the baskets would sit in the basement for, like, the rest of the weekend. It's like, oh, my God, didn't you know? He's like, no, we didn't discuss this. And it's not because he's stupid. A lot of the times they go, oh, my God, if somebody was smart. No, it's not. People have their own stuff going on. So you have
exactly.
to be clear with those boundaries, crystal, crystal clear. The second is be consistent. You have to be consistent in applying the boundary. When it has
mm-hmm.
been stepped over, you have to go, no, this is not how I want it. And you have to pivot and let the individual know what's going on. You know, especially with kids, what I find with my kids is, like, when you know when you're on the phone and a kid comes and they say, can they ask you to do something that they know you told them not to do? And as
right.
a mom, you have to be on it and you have to go, no. Because my kids used to do that because, you know, they know if they fall out and I'm on the phone and I'm handling some business that, you know, I just want – and I let them fall out. And after a while, they said,
right,
okay,
right.
and they got over it. So you have to
right.
be consistent, because what happens when you're not, you have to start back over from square one and then get clear about the boundary. And you keep starting over and over, and it diminishes for you your self-worth because, again, you have to
mm-hmm.
keep repeating yourself. And for the other person, it diminishes your credibility because it's like, oh, mama just said that, or, you know, Charmaine just said that. She going to let you do what you want to do anyway. So you
okay.
have to stay consistent. And the third piece we never think about is being compassionate. This is not going to be a perfect trial. You're going to make some errors. The other individual is going to make some errors, especially if you're dealing with kids. It might take them a while to get a concept down. And so you have to be compassionate enough to ride it through with that person and make sure that they get it. Because most of the people that we deal with, 98% of the people, I'm an optimist, 98% of the
mm-hmm,
people that we deal
too.
With, you know, they want to make sure that, I don't want to say they keep us happy, but that they're doing things that are pleasing to keep the relationship going. So your family
right.
or your friends are not, most of them are not purposefully trying to sabotage you or your life or stress you out. It's just
right.
that if you haven't been clear and consistent for the past 10 years, you can't expect for them to get it in a weekend. This is going to take some time. And so you have to be compassionate with yourself and with the other person to know that this is, you know, this is not a one-trick pony. This is something that's going to have to be a practice.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. And what are your ideas on time management?
Time management is a lie. Time management does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot manage
okay.
something that you have no control over. And that's my thought.
Wow.
You
okay.
can't control time, so you can't manage
mm-hmm.
it. But you can manage, I call it time mastery. You can manage your emotions. You can manage your how you plan your day. You can manage
mm-hmm.
the boundaries that you set around that. And you can manage the distractions you have in your life. When you master all of those, then time just – how your time is handled comes easy. You know, a lot
mm-hmm.
of times time is the external piece, right? Right now,
right.
what is it, about 2:15 Eastern Standard Time? It's going to be 2:15 Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. There's nothing we can do about that. But if I want to maximize
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I
mm-hmm.
want to keep my emotions in check. master, you know, how I'm feeling and, you know, how I'm responding to events and mastering that. Because how often have you wasted a whole bunch of time because you've been pissed off about something small? And by the time
right.
you come down off of it, it's like, you know, 3 hours later and you're like, man, I had something else to do. And so
right.
mastering those emotions are going to be huge, because in everybody's day, there's going to be some what I call oh shit moments where you have no control
right, right.
over this, and you
right.
have to know how to master what's going on with you to dig down. The second piece is planning mastery, going back up to creating that plan. When you have a plan for your day that is clear and that makes sense and has some sort of connection for you, you're going to make darn sure that if you have five things on your list that you know you're more focused on getting that done. And so you tend to make a better use of your time energy than if you didn't have a plan for your day and you're just kind of going, you know, oh, okay, somebody calls me, they want me to do this. Oh, yeah, I got to do that. Oh, yeah. You know, when you're kind of fluttering around, you tend to be more
mm-hmm.
exhausted at the end of the day, you know, based
right.
on, you know, whether if you have a plan. Third is
wow.
boundary mastery. When you either have boundaries that you're not applying or you don't have boundaries at all, it allows you to get sucked into OPP, other people's priorities. And when you get sucked into OPP,
right.
you are now living what I call a secondhand life, because now you're not living
mm-hmm.
your life to enhance. Now you're not living to enhance your life. You're living so you can enhance everybody else's life. So you have to be able to. Thank you. You have to be able to master boundary setting and application. And mastery does not mean perfection. Let's get that straight. Mastery does not mean perfection. It just means you have a base plan in place so that when life happens, you at least know where to jump back on the train at. That's what mastery is about. And having that boundary mastery, so when people go, okay, like for right now, my family is leaving me alone because I'm on this call. And it's not because I had to yell at people or threaten people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a boundary. I have, you know, mommy has some business things to handle today, you know, and they're leaving
right.
me alone. But that took practice to have that boundary mm-hmm. to be able to be followed. And the last piece is distraction mastery.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, random phone calls, Twitter, Periscope,
mm-hmm.
Real Housewives of Atlanta, all those are distractions.
right?
Distractions, watching the news, distractions.
Right.
Especially when you have a plan and a purpose for your life.
Absolutely.
You can't necessarily say, I'm going to sit here for 3 hours and watch, you know, a marathon of something when you have other plans in place. And so you find when you master those four areas, that time is just your time, and having enough time at the end of the day and feeling great at the end of the day, that's a perk of mastering those four. So you never have to really worry about time. And I'm not saying that, you know, you just completely ignore it. But what happens
right.
is that it just comes, it's not a stress point anymore.
On right.
if you're going to have enough time to do this or enough time to do that, it's not a stress point. Now it's just like, okay, yeah, I got this, or no, I can't. Knowing how to say no to is another boundary. No, 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 no.
Right, right, and feel okay with it and not have any guilt behind it.
Exactly. Women always, for some reason, I don't know what it is with us, but when it comes to saying no, it seems like that is – I did an exercise from Ayana Van Zandt, and it was
mm-hmm.
an entire weekend and just say no to everything. And I'm like, oh, my God, what does she mean, say no? Like, what? Oh
right.
Like, I started hyperventilating because
how do you do that?
As women,
how do you do that?
Right, we're people pleasers.
Yeah.
And I did it, and it felt so good. I'm like,
wow.
This feels so freeing to actually say no and mean it and stick to it. And now my no's hold more weight because, you know, again, as women, we'll say no, and then somebody can turn around and ask us with a pouty face and some sad eyes and go, all right, I'll just do it this one time, and then we'll stress ourselves out trying to get this thing accomplished. But, yeah, try saying no for a weekend. Take a weekend and just say
mm-hmm,
no to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything.
Right.
Just say no.
There you go. Okay, so how can moms get to the place where they can do that? They can, like, put themselves first with everything. And what are the benefits of women putting themselves first?
Well, I will tell you this. Once you get those once you get those first four foundations in place, those foundational feelings, the first foundation, creating a plan, that second foundation, enforcing and setting boundaries, the third, and mastering the time is the fourth, then that self-time is going to be an easier play. What gets a lot of women tripped up is they try to start with this piece first, and you haven't set the boundaries or applied them.
Okay,
so while you're trying to meditate or work out, your kids are coming in, so you don't get to work out. You're not going to bed at a timely hour because your day was chaotic and based off of just whatever came your way. So now you don't have any time really left at the end of the day because you're exhausted to even work out or meditate. You haven't taught or you haven't guided your children to not bother you or not, you know, start coming at you first thing in the morning. So you don't have a thriving gratitude practice or anything like that. So I believe once you get those first four pieces in place, then having a morning ritual, which I think is paramount to any man, woman, child, whatever, sanity and growth. And a morning ritual is basically, for me, it's where even before I get out of bed, I lay in bed and I start naming off things that I'm grateful for that did not cost me money. And it's interesting with what you can come up with. You know, you think, how can I be, what stuff can I be grateful for that didn't cost me money? Like, oh my gosh, I have my vision. And I'm able to get out of bed on my own. Or for me, with my sinuses going on, I can breathe out of both nostrils. Like, for some mornings, that is a point of gratitude for me. And so you have your gratitude piece, and I get out of bed and I do some movement. I don't necessarily work out all the time, but I'm definitely doing some stretches. I'm getting my blood pumping. I'm moving my body in ways because I sit a lot. You move, you know, get some movement in. And then that third piece is either a meditation or a prayer practice, or you can do both at the same time. And that's a morning ritual before you start wiping noses, fixing plates, handling kid fights, whatever, is you carve out 15 minutes. Like, this can take you 15 minutes for yourself, first thing. When you put yourself first, you're now saying, I'm worthy. I am worth the hard work. I am worth the time. I am worth it. I'm worthy. I'm worthy. And that's what you're saying to yourself. You're also saying to those around you that you're worthy and that it shows, especially your children. If you have daughters, even boys, but more mainly daughters, it shows them as they become older, if they choose to have children, that they perform better when they've taken care of self first. Moms seem to have this misconception that once I take care of everybody else, then I can take care of myself. If you are drowning and, you know, and there are others, your children drowning around you, you can't save them from drowning if you're dead. So that's kind of, you know, put that oxygen mask on first, get your own life jacket on, and then you can go out and save the world. The second piece of self-care is off days. I do them about once or twice a month, and it's where I turn off my cell phone, I sit in bed, and I'm sitting here with, you know, I normally sit with my kids, and we're watching either movies or we're doing some sort of art and craft, but it's something that's off the norm that than you would normally do. It could be that, or an off day could be where you leave your house and maybe you go walk down by the water, but it's a day where you're not connected in the 2016 sense. Where maybe you're not on social media all the time, or maybe you're not even watching TV, but you're connecting back to self and you're connecting with those around you. So off days are really important. And to all women, find a hobby. I know all of us had one before we had kids. Remember what used to be your heart song when you were 16, 13 years old, and what made you smile every time you do it. You can still find, you know, for me it was playing the piano. That's like one of the things that I'm going to get back into this winter is playing the piano again. But the other one was like, you know, art, you know, drawing and painting, like doing those different things were like heart, like, you know, I get lost in it. And so finding out what you get lost in and then committing to doing it at least once a month, put yourself on your calendar. If you don't put you on the calendar, you don't put your stuff on the calendar, then how can you expect for anybody else to put you on their calendar? We get what we tolerate from ourselves and from our family and from our friends. If you want something different from them and from yourself, you have to set up some different parameters. You have to get clear on how you want to feel. You have to create a plan. You have to set and apply boundaries. You have to put all those pieces together so you can master your time. And once you do that, again, you'll be able to do a lot of these different pieces effortlessly without it feeling like you're taking away from those you love to, you know, just take care of yourself, when it's the exact opposite. You are giving to them by giving to you.
So what are some of the services that you offer if someone wants to work with you?
Right now I have the Super Mom's Guide to Self-Care group on Facebook, and that is a space where moms get together. I do some daily prompts to get you to start thinking about and thinking in a different way about self-care. As you can probably hear from this, is that I don't see self-care as a spa day. Self-care, in its general definition, is the care of your mind, body, soul. Not mm-hmm. just a spa day, but it's a complete, it's a 360 experience. It's not just this one thing. And so I get moms to think outside the box a bit when it comes to their self-care and to begin to see the areas in their life where they may need to tweak. I just started a tester group for a course that I'll be bringing out this February, which is a Supermom's self-care course. And it'll be a 5-week course. But for right now, the group is where I hang out at, and I do a live weekly live calls, like 3 times a week in the group, where, you know, people get to ask questions. I talk on a certain topic, and I help them out. I will also be speaking at, and that'll be on my website, at the Family Center in February of 2017. It'll be a five-month series, because I'll do a series each month on each one of these principles. But for right now, the group is where it's at. It's where it's happening and popping. It's a growing community. It's a supportive community. It's non-judgmental. So the moms that are
great.
There absolutely love it.
Awesome. That's great. Do you do any coaching, like one-on-one coaching?
I am setting that up. That will be ready by the beginning of the year. And if you hang out in the group, I will more than most likely next month be looking for testers. So a tester normally means with me that either you get to try a full program for free or at a very, very low cost so I can work out some of the kinks. So I will be offering that at the beginning of the year. It will be called a Supermom Life Support Call. And I'm kind of vacillating over where either it's going to be a 45-minute call or kind of like, you know, a series of calls, because I don't think, for me, I don't think this is something that I can help you with in one call. So we're going to try to test some things out to see what moms have to say first before I just, like, you know, offer it. And it's like, this is not what I need. I need more than this, or I need less than this. So hang out in the group, and you will definitely be able to find that out.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And what's the best way to reach you? I know you mentioned your Facebook groups. Can they reach out to you by typing your name in on Facebook or going to your website? You want to mention your website again?
The easiest way to reach me is either going to my website at Fuller, FullerPotentials.com, and clicking on the contact button and filling out that form, or you can email me at Charmaine@FullerPotentials.com. I wouldn't suggest Facebook inbox, because if we're not friends, it's going to go to other, and it might take me 6 months to figure out that you emailed me. Or even if you're in any of my groups, I'm always going to respond. I'm in my group every day. So those are the group, email, or my contact form on my website are the 3 best ways to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Charmaine, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Audience, Katina,
thank you so much
for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's a pleasure. Thank you so
this
much for tuning
fun.
In. Yeah, it has been fun. It has been fun. Thanks for tuning in to The Awakening with Katina Love. Please follow us on Facebook at the Katina Love page, or actually it's The Awakening with Katina Love page. We created a YouTube channel. We're going to be uploading our future and past podcasts there. And we're also on iTunes. Follow us on iTunes. Thank you for tuning in. Namaste.
Namaste. Have a great week.